views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience inspiration, healing, and knowledge. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, authors, healers, and speakers helping you to discover the greatest version of yourself. You can find out more at thelucidplanet.com and listen to all of my show archives at lucidplanetradio.com. Well, first of all, I just want to say it's great to be back. I've been on the road for the last 2 weeks, going to visit friends and family and attending Enchanted Forest Festival gathering in Northern California, and doing some workshops on sexuality and polyamory. It has been really great to connect with everyone, and also to continue this theme today of talking about kind of alternative sexualities and polyamory by welcoming author Janet W. Hardy to the show. We are calling the title of today's show Ethical Sluthood and Other Adventures because, of course, Janet is one of the co-authors of The Ethical Slut, which is in many ways kind of like the definitive Bible about polyamory and open relationships. And it is certainly one of the key tools that I have used in my journey of exploring my own polyamory and really going into this. This book has helped me and a lot of people. Many of our listeners already know I was a professor of human sexuality for 7 years, and this is really my area of interest. And that, from a personal side, you might know from my last show with Jimmy Ohm before we left town, is that I have been in open relationships. I am now polyamorous. I am a bisexual woman. I have been married. I have been divorced. I've been through a lot of these types of experience for my young age of 33. and you know, who knows what the future holds. But it's really great to be on this journey, to be real with yourself sexually and to accept your sexuality for what it is and not make apologies for it, but also do no harm to yourself or others and really take a very ethical and responsible approach to yourself. And so I'm really delighted to have Janet on the show. In case you're wondering more about Janet, she is the author of 11 books about alternative sexuality. The Ethical Slut, of course, is one of my all-time favorites. There's 160,000 copies in print. Her recent memoir, Girl Fag, A Life Told in Sex and Musicals, is also out. Her work spans across so many different disciplines: how-to writing, personal essays, memoirs, a lot about the philosophy and practice of non-traditional relationships, BDSM, kink, non-binary genders, really non-binary lifestyles, even food. She's traveled the world teaching erotic philosophy. She has an MFA in creative nonfiction from St. Mary's in California. And you can find out more about her at janetwhardy.com. Wow. Okay. Well, let's get started. Let's please welcome Janet to the show. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Wonderful to have you. I guess maybe a good place to start is, what is alternative sexuality? For people who haven't heard that before, what does that mean?
It basically means any kind of way of approaching your sex life or your relationship life that diverges from mandatory lifelong heterosexual monogamy. So it could be anything from being gay or lesbian or bisexual to living in, you know, a 20-person intersex family. You know, it's just any trip off of the main road in the world of sex and relationships.
Gotcha. And we both know that really this quote unquote main road doesn't exist. It's a standard that's put on us.
It is. And there are people who walk that road because they want to. And I, you know, I don't see any problem with that. I think, you know, lifelong pair bonded monogamy is one excellent way to live. I don't think it's the only excellent way to live. And what I resent is a culture that tells us that it's the only moral way to live, because I don't think that's true.
You know, and when it comes to sexuality, really, there is no moral normality, or, you know, what, there's a statistical normality, perhaps.
Yes.
Right.
But that's, and there are certainly ethics.
Yes.
And there are certainly ethics of sexuality. But in terms of an externally imposed morality, yeah, no, I don't so much want to live in a world like that.
No, absolutely not. And I'm glad you bring that up. None of this, I mean, even when Jimmy and I are doing our talks about, you know, polyamory, none of this is saying that polyamory is better than monogamy, or that it's, you know, right, or that it's, monogamy is wrong. It's more that, like, we all should be able to choose what feels best for us and be mm-hmm. able to live that lifestyle. And that's kind of, like, I think really what the ethical slut is all about, is giving people that freedom to choose and empowering them with that knowledge that it's okay.
Yeah, that there are ways of doing this that are good for you and good for the people you love and good for your family and don't do any unnecessary harm, that this lifestyle can work as well as any other.
Absolutely. So I just want to ask you, before we talk more about kind of what ethical sluthood means, how did you get into this? Did you always know that you wanted to be a sex writer? Is this something you fell into based off of your experiences in life, that you wanted to put this information out there? When did you know that this was your thing?
I've wanted to be a writer since I was quite young. I had a crush on a teacher who thought he was Rod McEwen, and he got me started as a writer. That was, I think, eighth grade. But I was working actually as an advertising copywriter for quite a few years in my early adulthood. And I lost my last job in advertising after coming into the BDSM community. I believe my employer was listening in on personal phone calls and found out about me and let me go. And so I had to develop a source of income rather quickly. And so I wrote what I thought was going to be an article, and what eventually turned out to be a small book called The Sexually Dominant Woman, A Workbook for Nervous Beginners. And that was my first book that was self-published in 1992. And the whole thing just kind of grew from there. No, I never set out to be a sex writer. It just, it all made sense at the time, one step after another. And next thing I knew, you know, I was running a small sex publishing company and writing all these books and publishing all these other people's books and traveling the world and all that, but I never set out to do it. No.
Sometimes your path just calls to you, and, you know, these obstacles in life, like losing your job, when it sounds like losing your job because of discrimination towards your sexuality,
yes.
You know, actually forces you into that space of, like, really putting yourself out there in this beautiful way. So it's always a blessing.
Yeah, no regrets, you know, which is not to say I do not occasionally wish ill on the person who fired me, but I'm mostly over that 20 years later.
That's so good. Can you briefly tell us, we have to head into the break in a couple of minutes, but can you briefly define what it means to be an ethical slut?
It's a little bit what we talked about a minute ago. It's recognizing that you can choose any consensual sexual path and find growth and love and connection along that path. And that can be anything from celibacy through Sweetheart of the Seventh Fleet, as long as it's done with full attention to honesty and ethics.
And that's being an ethical slut. Beautiful. What a beautiful way of looking at life. And I mean, that's why I think this book has resonated and inspired so many people. I guess really the question is, in our society, that kind of seems to reinforce lying and cheating and harming, you know, then this is, I'm just posing this question as we go into the break. I don't know if we'll have time to discuss it right now, but, you know, how do we find that place of honesty when we're told we kind of have to hide our sexuality or lie about our sexuality or be shameful of our sexuality? That's really the challenge, I think, is coming into that state of present awareness. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. And I have a lot more to say about that, but we should probably take our break and speak, because I'm going to go on that for a while. And my Wonderful. We have other things to do. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so the station does. I mean, I'll just keep talking, but no one will hear us.
Yeah, me too. we'll let the station do its thing, and then we'll come back and talk.
Wonderful. Okay, well, you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And yes, when we come back from the break, we are going to talk about the adventures of ethical sluthood and really how we find that ethical place with sexuality. I'm here with author Janet W. Hardy, co-author of The Ethical Slut. And you can find out more from her on her website, www.janetwhardy.com. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, yep. So stay tuned and we will be right back after the break.
She had some smile. She took a standard pose and she presented herself. She had sultry eyes. She made it perfectly plain that she was his for a price. But he said, leave me alone. I'm a family man and my bark is much worse than my bite. He said, leave me alone. I'm a family man. If you push me too far, I just might.
Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you feeling broken from your relationships? Are you second-guessing yourself about friends, family, and lovers? Tune in to the hit show that's creating a buzz in the love-seeking community, Love Seeker Radio, finding love for your authentic self with renowned love coach Heather Lynn. Tired of dissatisfying relationships? Kiss them goodbye and power up your love seeker energy. Coach Heather Lynn reminds you that you can just be you, the beautiful and perfect you. Visit heatherlynncoaching.com to learn more.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is author Janet W. Hardy, who is here talking with us about ethical sluthood, alternative sexualities, and all of these fascinating journeys into the unknown and uncharted territories. Well, not really. but what I really want to talk about right now is ethics. And we ended the break by saying how do you be an ethical slut in a world that is filled with lies and deceit and shame? How do we find that place where we can be completely honest and upfront and truthful and have sexual relationships, whatever they look like, that embody that? Janet.
Yeah. I think the reason that so many of us believe that cheating and lying is necessary is because we've been taught very carefully by our culture that seeing your beloved with somebody else is not survivable, that that feeling of jealousy or insecurity is so dreadful that nobody can possibly survive a thing like that. And so what could be more natural if you really believe that your beloved would be destroyed by the knowledge that you're being sexual or loving with someone else than to protect them from that unsurvivable feeling? But in fact, as those of us who have been doing open relationships or poly for a while can attest, those feelings are survivable. They sometimes suck. They sometimes suck big, but it stops. You know, if you're committed to surviving a siege of jealousy or insecurity, there are ways to survive it and get past it, and it will be easier the next time, and you just get better at it with practice. And so there's no need to protect someone from that feeling. And in fact, if you choose to protect them, you're denying them the chance to learn how to survive it.
Absolutely. Well, that's what I would say. If you're not going to be honest, you're not even giving them the chance to accept you either. They'll
exactly.
never know. Yeah. And I, having been in situations like this in my life, I've cheated, I've been cheated on. It's a terrible feeling, you know, feeling yeah. like you can't actually express yourself. So what are some of these techniques? I'd love to hear your opinion as someone who's new to this and as someone who has definitely been experiencing it on both sides as we're exploring actual intimate poly, you know, relationships with other people in addition to us. What are some of the things that people can do to help deal with that relational jealousy that might emerge?
Well, let's back off for a minute and think about how you would deal with, say, the death of a family member or loss of a job or something else that is emotionally very difficult, but that you're expected to survive. We already know some of the ways we would take care of ourselves in a circumstance like that. You would find a friend that was willing to listen to you while you're sad, or you would treat yourself to something that's sensual and luxurious and pampering, or you would go to the gym and work out until your muscles are all quivering, or whatever. We each have our own self-caretaking mechanisms. Some of us might do art or journaling about what we're feeling. And it's really the same skill set that you use to survive any other difficult emotion is the skill set that you use to survive jealousy. The only difference is that we don't get taught to use them for jealousy.
Right. So it's like, oh, well, I actually can't even deal with this because I've never really been taught how. But no, I know how. I've had to deal with. I mean, this is the reality of life. Bad stuff happens all the time. Uh-huh. And you know, it also speaks to this idea of like, you can't control people. Right. So if your partner wants to do something, you don't have a say over their genitals, let's say. You don't have a say over who they're attracted to. But somewhere in that jealousy is this kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but almost like this feeling of wanting to control it. I don't want them to be attracted to this person, or I don't want them to be feeling this way. And so maybe there's a way that I could somehow try to influence them by being upset about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, that's why we call it jealousy instead of calling it insecurity or territoriality or competitiveness or any of the other things that it really is because what makes it jealousy is it's a bad feeling that we expect someone else to fix for us. That's kind of the definition. And so it's a matter of getting past that expectation that someone else's change in behavior is going to fix your emotions, because it kind of isn't. If you're feeling insecure, then you're feeling insecure. And the fact that your partner is having sex with someone else, that's only what brings it to the surface. The fact is that the insecurity is there and it's yours to fix. The gift of jealousy, and believe me, I'm more than aware that it doesn't always feel like a gift, but in a way it is that it shows us what we're scared of. And often it shows us what we don't like about ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we have an opportunity to work on that.
Exactly. Well, it's, you know, in coming from like a spiritual kind of self-mastery perspective, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be able to practice that certain level of non-attachment to people and their outcomes, that you can't control them. You don't own them. Whatever anybody else does not have to impact your state of mind, your inner peace. You have ultimate say, right? You have ultimate say in your happiness. And there's been so many times where throughout my life, not just from polyamory, but throughout my life of like having to remind myself that I get to control how I feel, no matter what's happening.
The polyamory is like going to the gym for that set of muscles. It really is. It's consciously learning to strengthen those muscles through daily practice. That's what polyamory is.
But, you know, I've heard, and maybe you can speak to this, I've heard both sides. Some people say, well, polyamory is really spiritual. It's all about this abundance of love and non-attachment and self-mastery. And then I've heard other people say it actually has nothing to do with being spiritual. And I tend to take the approach that maybe it's an individual thing. What do you think about that?
I don't see the distinction, actually. I think it's a matter of your own personal practice. As soon as I hear someone say something is either this or that, I tend to resist it immediately, because my experience with, you know, 6 decades on the planet is that things are never either this or that. They're mostly kind of a little bit of both.
Absolutely.
So poly is, a lot of it is just logistics, and there's nothing very sexy or spiritual about logistics, but that's part of poly. You know, there are calendars to be maintained. There's safer sex to be dealt with. There's all this rather mundane stuff.
Yes.
And then there's also these moments when your heart feels like it's going to burst with love. It's not either or. It's all part of the package.
I love that approach. I mean, I think it's important to reject all categories and labels that get put on everything, or at least question them.
At least question them. Yes.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to sexuality. Do you have any advice for our listeners who want to explore poly, or even just opening up their relationship, but they're not sure how to go about it? Or for people like myself who are relatively new, like a couple years to a couple months into doing this, do you have any advice for kind of what are the most important components that can make this work, like make it or break it type stuff?
Well, baby steps is a big part of it. You don't have to leap overnight into, you know, whatever your most extreme poly vision is of, you know, or 15 person orgies or whatever it is that seems like extreme poly to you. You can try something as easy as looking at personal ads together and just talking about who you find attractive and why, or anything that that seems like a baby step. Good rule of thumb is in any given relationship, there's likely to be one person who's more enthusiastic and one person who's less enthusiastic about this project of poly. If the person who's more enthusiastic is feeling a little bit constrained and like they're getting a bit less than they want, and the person who's less enthusiastic is feeling a tiny bit stretched and like they're giving up a little bit more than they want, then you're at about the right level. If everybody's a tiny bit uncomfortable, that's about the right place to be.
I can appreciate that. I think, you know, we're already kind of innately uncomfortable about our sexuality anyway.
Yes.
Because of so then when you're expanding it and you're exploring and you're adding other people and you're being forced to speak very honestly and openly, that can really be very uncomfortable.
It can. We're very rarely taught how to negotiate around our sexual behaviors.
Yeah. We're not. And so it's nice to have, you know, books like Ethical Slut and all of your other work kind of out there to help just point people in a direction. And it's not prescriptive, like this is what you must do. It's really more about getting people to think about themselves and how they feel. Another concern that I have, just very quickly as we go into break, I guess, is like time management seems to be a huge deal. When you're in polyamorous relationships, how do you kind of, in your experience, what are some of the ways that people can help to make this a little bit easier?
Well, I used to say a slut's best friend is her day runner, but now I say a slut's best friend is her Google calendar, because technology has changed. But seriously, if you're going to do this, it's pretty nearly imperative to have some sort of central scheduling system.
All right.
And the other thing you need to have is the expectation that you will screw it up sometimes. Because
yes,
I promise.
Yes, and being forgiving of those expectations is also incredibly important. Just a funny thing as we're going into the break, we did a talk recently and one woman raised her hand and she said, I mean, do you guys have like kids or do you have jobs or, I mean, how do you find time for all of this? And it's like,
that's
really,
it's a serious question.
It's a serious question. You really do have to be very focused and really disciplined in the way that you budget your time. And, but if it's worth it, you make time, you know, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, you give up a television show and there's an hour to spend with your sweetie.
Exactly. Hey, we are going to head into the break right now. And when we come back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, we will be talking more with author Janet W. Hardy about alternative sexualities, BDSM and kink and tantra and all kinds of good stuff. So thanks, Janet. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet, welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Each month, listen to Live More Radio with co-host Ali Katz. Join Ali and Dr. Pat as Ali introduces new ways to bring balance back to your life through meditation, sleep, and exercise techniques so you can live your truly authentic life. Stress less, live more. To learn more about Ali, visit atozenmeditation.com.
Let the transition begin. Tune in to the hit show, Majestic Insights Radio, Success for Life's Transitions, with host Carrie Keith. Carrie is a gifted intuitive coach, healer, and teacher who will lead you through her empowering techniques of ancient wisdom and awareness so you can live your happiest, healthiest, and most vibrant life. Let Carrie teach you the tools of transformation that will help you experience success for all of life's transitions. To learn more about Carrie, visit www.majesticinsights.com.
We'll be right back.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I have author Janet W. Hardy here talking about the adventures of ethical sluthood and beyond. I wanted to talk about BDSM and kink. Janet, you've had a really big influence in this area. You've written a lot about it. You have a lot of experience. And I would love for you to help explain to our listeners what is BDSM and what it is not. And okay. Maybe then we could go from there.
Okay. Some of your listeners may not even be aware of the acronym BDSM, which is, people used to call it SM, but it's been expanded in recent years to encompass a wider range of styles. So BD is bondage and discipline, DS is dominance and submission, and SM is sadomasochism, and someone took and mushed them all together to make BDSM. So it's really any, it can be anything from very gentle bondage through very extreme pain play through very intense emotional exchange. It can be almost any kind of bondage. It mostly falls into restricting someone's movement through bondage or other forms of movement restriction, or giving someone intense sensation, or controlling someone's behavior. And those should actually all be and ors, because it can be all three of those, or any two, or only one.
So what we're talking about is like a pretty big, pretty broad category. And again, you know, we talk about the issues with labeling and categories, right? Is that they can be very limiting. Yeah.
A great many people, they indulge in things that could be considered BDSM. For example, holding their partner's hands down during sex, or, you know, biting, scratching, that sort of behavior, but they don't necessarily think of that as BDSM. So a lot of people participate in the activity without necessarily claiming the label.
Yes. And so what does that mean for the label? Is there something about ascribing it to the label that kind of changes the meaning, or does it really not matter?
I think adopting the label gives you access to a database of zillions and zillions of people who have done it before you, because once you accept the label, you get it that I'm talking about a particular kind of sex, and it's a kind that it's a good thing to learn a little bit about, because it has potential risks, as do all forms of sex, but BDSM perhaps a few more. And it might be a good idea for me to find out a bit more about this so that I don't do any harm. Mm-hmm. So that's what claiming the label is really about, is getting in touch with your current community and or the communities that have come before.
And, you know,
and all the knowledge that they've.
And yeah,
go ahead.
I'm trying to formulate a thought here that, you know, we talk about do no harm, but part of the turn on and part of the arousal of BDSM is the fact that there is pain with the pleasure. But there are
pain,
limits.
Pain is not necessarily harm. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
The general limit that a lot of people in BDSM use as a standard for whether it's the fun kind of pain or the harm kind is the capacity for self-healing. You know, a bruise or a welt or a scratch, if you leave it alone, it goes away. It's not a big deal. Many BDSM people consider small injuries like that to be within the realm of what's okay for them. Others are not okay with that kind of small injury, which is fine too. But pretty much nobody in BDSM is going to feel okay about breaking a bone or opening a gash that needs stitches or things at that level.
Super
that's
extreme.
Outside the purview. Yeah. That's outside the purview of what most people would consider to be okay BDSM.
So what it sounds like is that, you know, there's the physical pain element, but really this is a psychological experience that is channeled through our sexuality.
To some degree, there's also some physiological things going on. For example, I'm just in the middle of finishing up a new edition of my how-to book about erotic spanking.
Nice.
Which used to be called The Complete Spanker, and the new edition is going to be called Spanking for Lovers. And one of the things I put out there in the spanking book is that if you look at a map of the nerves of the human body, you know what a nerve map looks like, right? It's got the spinal cord that's like the trunk of a tree, and then branches that come off of a tree. Mm-hmm. And those come apart into smaller branches and into twigs that are all the nerves. lumps that get smaller and smaller as they move out toward the edges of the body. The main branches are called dermatomes. And what you'll see if you look at a neurological map is that the dermatome that serves that feeds the lower inner quadrant of the buttocks, which in spanking people call the sweet spot, is the same dermatome that goes to the genitals. So there's a very specific neurological reason why being struck on this one place on your body, the sort of lower inner quadrant, may cause the genitals to get aroused.
I never knew that.
It's not all psychology. A lot of it is just neurology.
So can you speak to the frequency? I mean, I have statistics somewhere, but I don't have them in front of me. Many people report experiencing some level of BDSM, either mild to extreme.
And a lot of it is a problem with definition, of course, because all the people who do biting and scratching, are we calling them BDSMers? Your statistics are going to vary hugely depending on how you establish your criteria. But there have been studies showing, 10%, 20% of people who at least have experimented with this kind of thing. I would guess it's a little more than that, actually.
Yeah, I think so. I can have some statistics on the website when I'm going to write about this. So can you speak to, let's say there's people, ring, no, you're okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Can we speak to or speak for people who want to get involved? I know you spoke about the importance of a community, and I absolutely agree that that's very important. How can people connect with a community if they don't know or if they're looking to explore?
The entry point these days for most people is a get-together called a munch, which is a gathering of kinky people that's held usually in a public restaurant. And it's not an occasion for actual play. It's people come generally in street clothes. And it's a way that you can meet people and chat with people with no pressure. And so munches are designed to be an entry point. And that's what I would recommend as a good starting place, along with some books, of course. And there are many good books out about BDSM, including some of mine. There's specifically a book that is not one of mine called Playing Well with Others. That's a book about not about doing BDSM, but about finding the kink community and how to act once you find it. That's the one I would recommend for someone who's looking to find community, because there is etiquette involved and there's expectations involved, and it's good to know about that before you set foot into your first event.
Awesome. I think that's really important. Another question that I have, and again, sexology goes back and forth on this, which is the pain necessary for the person to orgasm, or is the bondage necessary for the person to orgasm, or do they just enjoy it? Do you see what I'm saying?
I've never met anybody who needs the pain or the bondage to orgasm. Orgasm is a physiological response, and the right set of stimulus will produce an orgasm. It just will. A lot of us would much rather have the pain or the bondage to go along with our orgasm. It's the salt on the steak. It's, the spice in the chili. But I think this is one of the cultural beliefs about BDSM that a lot of people have that is simply untrue. There are not people who are so twisted up in their sexuality that they need these things in order to get off. We like them a lot.
That's kind of where I'm going with it, as opposed to kind of turning it into some, because I know they talk about it I used to teach human sexuality, sadomasochism as the sexual dysfunction requires for 6 months, you can't, if you can't orgasm without it, then blah, blah, blah. And it really turns it into something that it doesn't need to be. And I've always had a problem with that and kind of warned students before we turn something into a mental illness, let's just not make sure people are just exploring and kind of having a good time in a way that we might not understand.
Yeah. I'm sure you're aware there's been a big change in the DSM that it no longer lists sadomasochism as a paraphilia.
All right. Yeah, exactly. As a paraphilia. Thank you. Okay. Well, we're going to head to the break. And when we come back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, we're going to talk more about kink and tantra and alternative sexualities with Janet W. Hardy. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
Show Masters Chambers with your trusted friend, Connie Fife. Mondays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will connect you with the best of the best thought leaders from around the globe to share their strategies and best practices. Getting better together. To book Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. This inspiring show will help you never feel helpless in life or love ever again. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and entertaining motivational speaker, he has helped over 50,000 people with his amazing gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal meeting or have your own psychic party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers.
What a jam. Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I'm here with author Janet W. Hardy, and we are going to spend the last segment of the show talking about alternative sexualities. But before we do, Janet, I just wanted to ask you for the distinction from the last segment of what is the difference between BDSM and kink?
Kink is generally the broader category. Kink might include, for example, cross-dressing or fetishism or some things that are not strictly included under BDSM. So kink is any kind of non-normative sexuality, I guess, whereas BDSM is the subset that I described earlier.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I think that's really important. And of course, cross-dressing is very different from someone who's transgender and feels like they're born into the wrong body. Cross-dressing is wearing the opposite gender's clothes for sexual arousal. Am I right?
Or, for sexual arousal or for any number of reasons. I've talked to some cross-dressers who like to cross-dress just because men's clothes are not soft and sensual the way women's clothes are.
I gotta agree.
Right. And they like to wear things that are silky and feel good on their skin, or they may feel safer in women's clothes. It's not necessarily directly a sexual thing,
but
it may be also. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Thank you for pointing that out. Again, so much information here. And because of it all, and because of the way there's kind of this either normative or non-normative creative. There's so many different, it can be really hard to kind of organize these ideas in the mind. And so I think that's what we're trying to do. And one of the topics that this is really important for is gender and sexuality and sexual orientation. And we had spoken earlier about the idea of alternative or non-binary gender. How do you define that and why is that important?
It's as simple as recognizing that there are more than two ways to have a body. You know, we've all been brought up to think that there are men and there are women. And that's the first thing they say about us when we come into the world is what gender we are. And it's really not the case, not by any criterion is that the case, whether you want to go by chromosomes, whether you want to go by genital appearance, whether you want to go by social function. In no case is there only two genders. A lot of people, for one reason or another, physical or emotional or social, prefer to be somewhere between genders. And that's certainly me, and it's a great many other people. And it's, you know, the world was just sort of getting used to the idea of trans people, of people who went from one end of binary gender to the other. And now it's getting thrown this whole business about all this gray area in between. And I know a lot of people are confused, and I don't blame them because it's kind of confusing, but
it is.
But it's also fun.
It's fun. Well, this is also something that the human race has been doing for thousands, maybe more, millions of years. I mean, if you look at indigenous cultures, if you look at, I think it's called the Hijra of India, there's very much as like even an alternative third gender component there.
Yes.
Of people who don't identify with either.
Yes, exactly. So it's only really in European culture that we have this strong need for only two genders.
Yeah.
And it's built into the language, which is difficult. It's built into everything.
So do you see gender possibly as more of a continuum? Is that what the
I do? Or even more complex than a continuum, because I think a person may have several genders depending on situation. I, for example, present as female, although as a rather butch female, in my day-to-day social life, but I present as male in my sexual life. There's just these two different aspects to how I see myself. And I think a lot of people have at least that possibility or a desire to explore in that way. And they've been strongly told that that's not okay for centuries in this country and in European countries. And now we're opening it out and saying, no, you can explore, you know, just because you woke up this morning feeling female doesn't mean you have to do the same thing tomorrow.
Well, I think that's so important because you're right that depending on the situation and our feelings and the other people we're with, we do shift. I mean, even if we're not conscious of the shift, we become more masculine or more feminine or a different combination or something else entirely. I had a woman at one of our workshops at Enchanted Forest last weekend said something so beautiful and profound. I'm probably going to mess it up, but what she said was, we're talking about polyamory and all these things, and she said, I realized that I'm falling in love with myself, that the masculine part of myself and the feminine part of myself are constantly falling in love with each other.
And what a sweet.
Isn't that the most beautiful thing? What a wonderful way to look at it. And so it made me think, you know, the way that love is manifested is going to change from day to day, what that picture really looks like. And that's
sure,
okay.
Of course.
And how do we, in terms of advocacy or in terms of kind of getting this information out there, are there resources and support for people who feel like they need them when it comes to the way they express their gender?
Oh boy. Yes, there are, and I don't have those at my fingertips right now. If your listeners would like to drop me a line through my website at JanetWHardy.com, I can point them towards some things. But perfect. Right now, off the top of my head, I'm not coming up with anything,
which is
not that they're not there, it's that I have a brain full of holes.
Yes, so I know the feeling. Just too much information, you know, or just too much sex, maybe. I don't know. but when terrible problems to have. When I'll write all of this up as well and put links to this podcast, and in there we can put some resources, information for people across all of the different topics that we've spoken about for people who are looking to learn more. We're getting close to the end, and so I wanted just to ask you, Janet, in all of your experience as a sex writer and really sex adventurer, what is, I don't know, maybe the most worthwhile or one of the most worthwhile things you've learned on this journey that you could share with our listeners?
That I have no idea where sex begins and ends, that it kind of runs through everything all the time. And it's just a matter of how you want to tune into the sexual energy that runs through your body, that runs through the universe. Obviously, you can't be tuned into it 100% all the time, because you would not be able to function in all the ways we're asked to function. But it's there. It's there for the reaching out to. And that's a learnable skill.
I think that's amazing. And I absolutely agree with you. It's very much the same as our own creative energy.
Yeah. When Freud talked about libido, he didn't mean it the way we do when we talk about, you know, when we use it to mean horniness. And yeah. It isn't that. It is the creative energy. It's the procreative energy. It's the sexual energy. It's all of that generative principle that makes us human.
That's amazing. I can't really top that one. So I'm just going to leave that one there. And I want to thank my guest today, Janet W. Hardy, sharing such inspiring information. If you're in San Francisco, you can check Janet out at the Sex and Culture Center for Sex and Culture on September 22nd. You're doing some stuff with Kink Publishing. And then also a reading with your co-author, Dossie, on the 26th during Folsom Week in San Francisco. So if you want to go and talk to Janet, meet her, hang out, talk about writing or listen to some readings, that's a great opportunity to do it if you're in the San Francisco area. And so having said that, you can also visit her website, www.janetwhardy.com. And you're on Facebook too, Janet W. Hardy?
J. Hardy Author.
J. Hardy Author on Facebook. Okay,
yep.
So you can find her on Facebook. All right, well, that's all I got. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I had a really wonderful time in the show. Please join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific on KKNW 1130 AM Seattle and WBLQ 1230 New York. You can also find me at thelucidplanet.com and connect with me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. Next week on Lucid Planet Radio, I am welcoming Dr. Jamie Kulaga to talk about being a superwoman and what that looks like in the 21st century. I am, again, really happy to be back, and I will have a lot more for you in the next coming weeks. And so in the meantime, I just want to say, love yourself, love other people, accept yourself, accept other people, and have a wonderful rest of your week. And thanks again to Janet, and light and love. Take care.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.